Hello, Kathy, are you on? If you are on, you have to hit *6 to unmute yourself.
Hello, this is Sandra from Pocatello.
Hi, Sandra. I'm looking for our speaker. If you're on, Kathy, hit *6, and you will be unmuted and can speak. Kathy? Kathy, if you're on, you have to hit *6 to unmute yourself. Okay, we're going to start in just 1 minute. Our speaker is just a moment delayed, and so everyone hold tight for just another couple minutes, and we'll get some late arrivers on as well. We're about to begin in just a few minutes, so folks, just hang on for a second. We'll get some of those stragglers coming in a few minutes late. Thanks. Kathy, if you're on, you have to hit star 6.
So I'm here, Lois. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Sorry, I always like to wait till the last minute for a little bit of added drama.
Okay, well, we like drama. We're all about drama here.
Good, I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, we're just going to wait one more minute and for the stragglers. We all know how the stragglers are.
Yeah, I totally understand that, yes. Why be early when you can straggle, yes.
How's the weather there? It's going to snow here tomorrow.
Is it really? Well, we had, you know, our paralyzing 4 inches of snow here in Seattle last week, and now it's almost gone, so we're back to normal here, just gray.
Just gray. Well, that's Seattle, right?
That's Seattle, yes. Oh, I'm excited about this.
This is very exciting. We have 90, almost 100 people on RSVP.
That's remarkable. Great.
Okay, so it's 12:02, so I think we're going to get started. Those who show up late, well, it's their loss. Good afternoon, and welcome to our training call on media effective messaging and framing your issue. My name is Lois Gibbs, and I'm the founder of the Center for Health, Environment, and Justice. And for those who don't know, CHEJ has merged with People's Action Institute as a project. Our work remains the same, and with some expansions of issues like healthcare for all, 100% just around climate change. So I invite you to check out our mothership, People's Action Institute, at their website, which is www.peoplesaction.org. Today we have a very talented and special guest joining us, but before I introduce her, there are some housekeeping details that I need to quickly explain. Everyone is automatically muted. There are 98 participants on this call, so you need to be responsible, and we know how responsible we are as leaders in this movement. And when not speaking, you need to mute your phone so there isn't a lot of background noise. 98 people's background noise is pretty deafening. Kathy will give a presentation about keys to getting media attention, framing your issues, and more. And when she is finished, we will open the lines for questions or comments. To ask a question or make a comment after Kathy is finished, you need to push star 6. You can ask your question, then push star 6 again to mute yourself. If you have a follow-up question, you hit star 6 again and ask the follow-up question, and again, star 6 to mute yourself. The star 6 are the keys to opening and closing your lines. You can talk all you want, but if you don't push those buttons, no one can hear you. On my computer, the star is above the 8 key, so I don't know where it is on yours, because sometimes people have a hard time finding it. This training is also being recorded, so you can download the recording afterwards. We will share it with you, and then you can use it to refresh your memory of some important facts that you wanted to note and really be clear on, or you can share the recording with others in leadership in your community or other organizations. Kathy will be using slides. You should have received them this morning. If you did not receive them this morning, if you just send a quick email to chej2@chej.org, and we will send them to you immediately. So it's chej2@chej.org. So that's all of my housekeeping stuff. Now let me introduce you to Kathy. Kathy is responsible for media relations, communications at People's Action, and she is a huge rock star there. She's charged with strategic communications and media relations, a writer and former journalist. Her experience is far-reaching, including writing executive communications, speeches, opinion pieces, and shaping messages. Kathy's also experienced at managing communications for political campaigns, social media strategy, media training, crisis communications, and public relations. She really is just extraordinary. Communications and strategies from concept to completion. So that's sort of what we're going to talk about a little bit today. You have a concept of what you want to express and how do you take it there. Press and media relations, experienced spokesperson. She's a reporter, an editor, a writer, a storyteller. She does crisis communication. She's just a jack of all trades. She's decisive, productive, and detail-oriented. Kathy admitted that she thrives on challenge in fast-paced environments, and she always loves the chance to tell a great story. So she's going to help us today figure out how to tell our story in the great way that she tells hers and so many at the huge organization that she works for. So with that, I want to welcome Kathy. Kathy, teach us how to be just like you.
Thank you, Lois. I really appreciate it. Can you hear me okay? Am I off mute? I've tried to do my star
you are good.
Correctly. Great.
You are good.
Okay. Good. You are exactly right, Lois. I love to tell a good story. I could probably talk all day on this topic, but for this morning, we're just going to have media relations in a nutshell. We're going to learn how to get great coverage from newspapers, TV, and radio. It's called earned media because you earn it. You don't buy it. So if anybody is unfamiliar with the term earned media, it's media that you earn coverage, that you earn rather than advertising. We'll become familiar with how to frame a complex issue, understand what a message is and why it's important, and we'll learn how reporters and TV and radio producers work and how to contact them. We'll talk about some ideas for press releases, press statements, holding press conferences, and other tips for drawing attention to your issue, your solutions, and your demands for action. So it's going to be a little bit fast-paced, but I want to make sure that I save some time at the end for your questions, because often that's where we really get to the meat of what we're trying to do. So what are you trying to do? What is your goal for your communications outreach? Are you trying to inform the public about a important issue that's happening or an emergency in your community? Are you trying to change something? Are you trying to hold elected leaders accountable? What is the goal of your communications plan? Media coverage draws attention to our issues. It builds power for your community or organization, and if it's done well, it builds credibility for your group, and it brings more members to your group. It could also help you create change, and often that is the primary goal of what you want to do. So the first thing you need to do before you start your communications plan is a little bit of research and deep thinking about what you want to accomplish. Who do you need to reach? Where are they? Are they in your own town? Are they in your state? Are they nationally? What do they care about? And what are you going to communicate? This is where we talk about framing an issue, and that's probably an unfamiliar term to some people or a scary term to others who have tried to do it. Yes, your issue is really, really complicated. You could probably talk about it for an hour explaining the background, the history, the intricacies, and all the data in detail. But for the purposes of talking to the media, talking to people in your community, or if you're like me, talking to people in line at the grocery store, you need to frame your issue into a very few words. You need to boil it down to its essence. So I think of framing an issue like this. You take your camera or maybe your cell phone to the park, and you're going to take a picture. You hold up your camera, and you get everything. You get the trees, the mountains, the water, the sky, everything. But you can't really see anything because so much is going on. As you zoom in tighter and tighter and tighter, you start to see more detail of the
park. You start to see the baseball diamonds. You see the children playing baseball. And then you see the little boy with the red wagon with the broken wheel. And maybe that is the essence of the story that you're trying to frame, that one small element that is colorful and tugs at our hearts a little bit and touches our values. Framing is just looking at a small part capturing the very essence of your issue. One way you might think about it is, can you sum up your frame or your issue with just a few catchy words, or maybe even just a hashtag? Your message is how you present that framed concept. Keep it simple, keep it short. They call that KISS, right? Keep it simple and short. Powerful messages appeal to our core value and our emotions. We use words in our messages like family, fear, justice, love. They're easy to, these messages are easy to remember and easy for people to repeat, repeat, repeat. A good message also makes us more nimble and makes it easier for us to respond to reporters' questions and to stay on our talking points and stay on task and not get distracted. What are some of our values? What are some words that we could incorporate into our message? Quality of life, our children. Justice, hope, joy. Community, dignity, defend. Tradition, heritage. Faith, trust. Future, healing. Did I say protect? Those are some of the words that go to our values and also to our emotions. Here's a few sample messages just to give you an idea of what we're talking about. One of these is from Lois, and I just love it. I think it's perfect. We don't test pesticides on pregnant women and children. Anybody with a heart, I think, would respond, or some intellect maybe would respond with, right. Keep families together. We hear that a lot in the immigration reform movement. It's families together. It sums up a very, very complicated issue of immigration reform down to its very essence with values and emotion. Keep families together. On the other hand, the master of messaging, and I hate to say it, I will build a beautiful wall and Mexico will pay for it. Ugh, how many times have we heard that now? But it's easy to repeat, it's visual, and it goes to somebody's core values, I guess. Healthcare. Healthcare is a human right. Those are just some ideas of some messages. Creating your frame and your messaging is like telling a very short story. You have conflict. You have a choice. You have characters, maybe it's a young parent, maybe it's a child, maybe it's a local farmer or a school teacher. Somebody is going to be the leading character of your story. You'll also have backup characters like the head of the organization that you're representing, the parents group or an expert or somebody along those lines, other supporting characters in your story. Give power to your message by appealing to the values and emotions of your target audience. You know that the heart of a story is hitting that emotional chord. Offer your alternative vision, a common sense, powerful solution or option that people can agree to and support easily. I've included in the slide deck that Lois sent around for me a little diagram that is called the message box. It's been around for just decades, but I think it's one of the clearest ways to help people formulate their message and frame their issue and think about what they want to say. The message box is divided into, it's a square, it's divided into four quadrants. The first one is a quadrant that asks you what you are saying about your issue. The second one asks what your opponent is saying about your issue. And then the bottom third quadrant would be what we're saying about our opponent and their position on the issue. And then the other one is what the opponent is saying about us. If you're not looking at that message box, I can send it around later as a standalone. It's pretty helpful in thinking through what your issue and argument and messaging is going to be, but it's a little hard to explain on a telephone call. So let's put this first part of the presentation all together for a moment. We've talked about our problem, framing it into its very essence, our values and emotion that come through in our very, very keep it short and simple message, and the solution. For example, we might say, Dow Ironworks is poisoning our children's water with lead and mercury. Our children and our community deserve clean, healthy water. We demand that Dow Ironworks clean the water and that the governor fines the company daily until the water is clean and safe to drink. Clean, safe water. So now you have your frame and your messaging and a solution that you want to offer. How are you going to use all this information? This is where we start to go public, go out to the media. There's social media, things like Facebook and tweeting and Instagram and all of the social media opportunities. There's earned media, and that can include press conferences, interviews with newspaper reporters, writing op-eds, going on radio or TV talk shows, doing interviews with TV reporters. You can take out an ad in the local newspaper, but that's very expensive. The advantage of that is it's your words. Nobody messes with them, but it's very expensive. You can rent billboard space. You can film a television commercial. All of these are very, very expensive. You can post on Facebook. You can tweet. You can write an opinion piece for the newspaper, an op-ed. I like this. You can control your message. The only problem is it's the newspaper who decides whether they publish your op-ed or not. Sometimes it might not see the light of day for a long time. I really like earned media, especially if it's used well. How do you get a newspaper reporter or television crew to cover your issue? You can send a press release. You can call the reporter, call the television producer, or hold a press conference. What do you need? You need your frame, your message, a couple of statistics, some spokespeople. Those are the messengers who will reach your target audience. They're probably going to, as I mentioned earlier, include people who are the head of your organization, people who are affected by the problem, or an expert on these issues. How are we doing for time, Lois? Am I staying on track here?
Yep, you got me.
I feel like I'm pouring out a ton of information here. I hope everybody is hanging on here with me. I'm sure we're getting through this. So, the media. I would like to just talk about the media since I was a reporter for way more than 20 years. The reporter is a vehicle for your message. They are not your enemy. Most reporters work long hours and are paid very little. Hold on a second. All right. So reporters are passionate about their work, and often reporters get into the reporting and journalism field because they're passionate about righting wrongs and telling a great story. So read the newspaper that you would like to be covered by to get an idea of who writes about your issue, which reporters are covering the things that you care about, how they cover it, and what they're saying about it. It might be an environmental reporter, an education reporter, maybe a city hall or state capitol reporter. These are called beats in journalism. So if you call up a newspaper and they want to give you a beat reporter, that's what they're talking about, one of those issue areas. How do you get noticed by the media? You can send a press release. You can send a media advisory. You can hold a press conference. You can meet with editorial boards. And you can get to know the reporters. There's nothing wrong with just calling up a reporter or just sending them an email. You don't have to be too fancy about it. How do you pitch a reporter? One of the quickest ways to get a story is to call up a newspaper reporter who covers your issue or talk to the producer or news director of a TV station. Have your frame, your message, and your facts ready. And be prepared to give your name. The reporter is going to ask your name, and they are going to use the name in their article if they write one. Sometimes people think that they can call and be anonymous and just give a tip. That's not going to work in this case. You want to be on the record. You can send an email to the reporter. Sometimes reporters now like to have story ideas tweeted to them. So if you are a Twitter user, you can tweet to reporters, and that's a quick way sometimes to get their attention. If you write an email, keep it short. Make the subject line intriguing. If you call, ask a reporter when they answer the phone, is this a good time? Maybe tell them that you read a story that they wrote recently and what you liked about it. Keep this very quick, very short. Reporters are usually extraordinarily busy and writing on deadline all the time now. Reporters are on deadline all the time. And just say, I have some news that I would like to let you know about, or I would like to give you a story idea. Have you heard about whatever? You can also write a press release. If you would like to reach out to a large number of reporters, or maybe reporters who aren't necessarily in your city or community or who you don't necessarily know very well, you can send out a press release to broadly announce your news. You would want to, in the very first paragraph of the press release, announce your news, give details, include in the press release the who, what, why, where, and when of your news announcement. You might want to include some statistics or facts or data. There should be a quote from you and maybe another quote from somebody who is knowledgeable or maybe affected by the issue. Again, that school teacher, parent, farmer, whoever is a spokesperson for your group, or we call it sometimes a storyteller. Not the expert, not the executive director of the organization, but a member leader who is living with the impact of this issue in their life. If you're announcing a press conference in this press release, briefly tell what the topic of the press conference is going to be and include the date, time, and place. And mention if there's going to be any visuals. So what a lot of people like to have a press conference and invite reporters to come to a location and hear their big news. If you call a press conference, make sure that you have big news. Make sure you have something that a reporter can turn into a news story very quickly, probably that day or within a couple of hours. Pick a location for your press conference that relates to your topic. Maybe if you're talking about contaminated drinking water, it could be in front of the drinking fountains at the school or at the source water at the St. George River or whatever. We've had press conferences at shareholder meetings at Wells Fargo or at EPA hearings. I really like to have press conferences at events that are already planned. So reporters are already at the scene. They don't have to come somewhere, especially for my press conference. My press conference is coming to where reporters are. I found that that has is much, much easier if you can do it. Maybe you can take your press conference to a city council meeting, something like that. Have two or three other people or experts join you in speaking at the press conference, those people that I have mentioned before, the storytellers. Remember to stay after the press conference to answer additional questions from reporters. Many will want to. So if there's a television reporter there, they will want to have a couple moments with you live on camera, repeating what you said at the press conference or adding additional details. Hand out a press release that includes quotes from the press conference and any facts and figures. You want to make it as easy as possible for reporters to tell the story, tell what was announced at the press conference, and get the information correct. I've often been to press conferences where there are three people from the organization and a reporter from the local newspaper. It's a little bit disheartening. Bring your friends. Bring an audience. Bring your supporters. There is nothing wrong with providing your own crowd and support system in the audience at a press conference. It just fills everything out, gives it much more credibility, makes it feel more lively and exciting. And it also gives reporters other people to talk to if they want to find out what the community support is for your issue. So I mentioned television reporters. Sometimes people feel really nervous when a camera and a microphone suddenly appear in front of them, but you don't have to. If you have your message, you can stick with that. You know your talking points, stick with those. Maybe beforehand, just prepare your own talking points, your little sound bites of 10 seconds. Remember, on television, everything sounds, and radio as well, everything sounds a lot longer than it is. 10 or 15 seconds is plenty for people to talk. 20 seconds starts to sound a little bit long. If a reporter asks you a negative question or something that is challenging and goes against what you have been saying, don't repeat the negative question. Just move on, stick with your message, and stick with your talking points. If a reporter asks you a question that you don't know the answer to, don't guess. Just say, I don't know, or say, I haven't researched that, or I am going to look into it, or here, let me ask you to talk to this expert that we brought along with us today to answer questions like that. Keep your hands visible. Keep them still. If you're talking on camera at your press conference, just keep your hands down down at your side. I'm sorry. I don't normally talk this much, I think. It's taken a toll. So you can also send a press statement to newspapers. If you know that some big news is coming out about your issue, or if there is something that you just discovered and you don't want to write a full press release, totally unnecessary, you can just send out a press statement. You can send these far and wide to any reporter or television station who you think is going to be covering your issue. A press statement is just a very short, two sentences maybe, giving your thoughts and incorporating your message. You would just put on an email your name, your title, the name of your organization, and then your quote that you think the reporter would be interested in incorporating into their article. So maybe something like, "We were appalled but not surprised to learn that the mayor attended a baseball game yesterday with the billionaire owner of the factory polluting our community's drinking water. It's especially disappointing since the mayor apparently has time for wealthy donors but cannot find time to speak with everyday citizens who have been unknowingly drinking the toxic water for 2 years. That's it. That's all you need to say. So, I think we're just about to the end. I've pretty much run through all the high points that I wanted to cover, and if it's all right with Lois, I can be open for some questions or for some discussion or to elaborate on some of the points that I just zoomed through very, very quickly.
Yeah, this is very difficult, Kathy, to do it over the phone, and we really appreciate dealing with this craziness that we have just to be accessible to everybody. So folks who have a question or a comment, what you need to do is press *6 in order to be heard and ask your question or make your comment. And while we're waiting for people to do that, Kathy, I have one question or one issue I would like you to just spend a couple seconds on, or a minute maybe, not more than 10 seconds.
Okay,
that's
great.
that is like trending stories. So, you know, a lot of our issues that happen nationwide, and there's trending stories, for example, on PFAS now, which is a contamination in drinking water from military sites and a whole lot of other things. And, you know, how can people, there's a question in the groups often that they don't want to latch on to a trending story because they don't want to take away from that story or they don't want to get lost in that story. Can you talk about, can we use trending stories and you know, like the lead in Flint, or, you know, there's just a ton of them that actually reach national news. And how would people in a local community be able to or not be able to use a trending story to advance their message?
That's a really great story because I didn't talk about that part in my presentation, and it's really a huge opportunity. There are, I think water, of course, is one of the biggest trending issues and trending stories that we have going on right now, one of the top five or six for sure. So interesting thing about news is local stories can become national news, like the water in Flint, and national stories can become local stories. So we find examples of what's happening in the national news is also happening in our own community. Lois, one more time, ask me what the challenge is of raising your local issue into the national news. Is that what you were?
Yeah, it's really how do people link to that story in a way that's responsible, but also reflective of what they're facing at home. So a lot of people are saying, I don't want to compare my lead with Flint because Flint's worse. Well, yeah, but Flint's trending, you know, and you can tag those. So, you know, people in the network sometimes become overly cautious about this stuff, and I think that it's important to link, right?
I do think it's important to link because it shows how pervasive this problem is nationwide. Flint isn't alone, and so I think maybe your question is, I don't know, I can't tell you if you should do it or should not do it. I personally think that you should do it because it's such a, you know, it's such a widespread issue. But if you want to, I think if you want to raise the issue to the national level, your own community issue to the national level, and show that this is pervasive around the country, not just in your town, not just in Flint, reach out to reporters who are covering the issue nationally and let them know what's happening in your community. National reporters are always looking to build their stories and make it bigger and give it more legs, they call it, make it run for another day or another week. So they're always looking for
stories like that. And again, you would need the same message and framing and storytellers and data that you would need for your state or local newspaper. Is that helpful to you?
Yeah. I mean, I find the national media is always looking for faces to tell their story, right? You know, when there's a new regulation or a new law or a new lawsuit or a new something, right? Then
exactly.
They're saying, well, you know, they call us all the time and say, well, who do you know in the Gulf that I can talk to that actually has this problem and I can put a face to my story, because otherwise it's just a dry story. So, yeah, I think that's great. Thank you.
I didn't talk very much about the role of storytellers. I hinted at it a little bit, but storytellers who can tell a reporter what it's like to be living with this issue are, first of all, the most brave people I know and the most generous people I know, but also they are so important to touch the hearts and really put a face, as Lois said, on the story and make it human. A whole pile of data and statistics and facts just don't have that same emotional resonance or value.
I think that's also true of visuals. I mean, the folks in our, and we push star 6 if you have a question or comment. I'm not avoiding you. I'm just engaged. But it's also the visuals. You know, one of the things that communities at CACJ works with is, you know, they have the pile of coal ash, they have the incinerator bellowing out smoke, they have the dead fish laying along the river. They have the child on the slingshot who just was poisoned by lead, who's going through chelation, right? So, I mean, we have such a wealth of human interest and human tragedy stories that fit so much of the national media that people could really, you know, if they could figure out how to latch on to the bigger story with their little story, right, their little community story, and put that face on there, it would take things to a new dimension in so many communities.
Often in your own community, there's things happening that you are just used to, and you don't realize exactly how shocking it would be to the national audience because you've been living with this day-to-day for such a long time. And, yes, the community stories are the national stories. There's no national stories. All the national stories are just local stories that are being told on a bigger platform. And people talking about what they're living with, the more dramatic it is, as Lois explained, is a critical factor. Especially the visuals are really important for newspaper photographers and for television reporters as well.
Great.
Do we just jump in here?
Yes. So if you just say who you are, and then you can ask your question or comment, and then just mute yourself, and if you have a follow-up, you can unmute again.
Okay, great. This is Diane Seif. I'm with Marcellus Outreach Butler. And actually, it's on this very topic of the visuals, but more not so much maybe in a press conference or release, but in your other communication. And there is often, there's a train of thought that you shouldn't be negative, that you should try to tell your story with sort of feel-good photos, etc. And I would like you to address that if you can, because I think, especially in this time of critical climate change and the pollution that we're facing with the fracking and petrochemical industry, the water and all that, that you can upsell your issue by not really conveying the urgency of it. Could you address that?
Yes. I think these stories, especially some that you just described, are very powerful. And you don't want to sugarcoat them, of course, because there are lives at stake. They have great human whole. They're powerful stories, and a way to make it less dour and depressing, of course, is to offer solutions or some action that people can take.
Is that going where you were, you're thinking it was going, Diane, or do you want to
clarify a little bit more? I guess what I said at the beginning is I'm particularly
talking about visual,
right. You know, I mean, to show a picture of a horn or something like, as opposed to like a child happily swinging on a swing set to show a child with a gas mask on, as an example.
Wow. I don't know. I feel like drama can go a long way. I think dramatic visuals are very, very powerful, if they're true, if they're correct, if they're honest. I wouldn't, just put a gas mask on a child for no reason, but if it was actually correct that the child could not go outside without the gas mask on, then I think that's extremely powerful.
Yeah, one of the debates within the network, Kathy, is that negative things like a child with a gas mask does a disservice as opposed to a less negative picture. And part of it is, you know, like a barrel and a this and a that. All the negativity has been, media people have been telling us, is a problem, that you can't just have all of these awful things. And I think it's really about balance.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's where Diane's going. You have a child with a gas mask on, actually they have a billboard with children with a gas mask on in Pennsylvania. And you know, it's negative, but it's also very powerful. And I think there's room for both of them. I don't think it's either or, and that seems to be where the debate is. Is it either or? I think it's both. But I think is that what you're going, where you're going, Diane?
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I absolutely understand that, yeah. And a way to counter that, too, is to offer solutions or a way for people to take action, too, so they're not just completely beaten down by all the bad that is happening, but there is some way to resolve it and step up and fix it.
I have a question concerning storytelling and presenting to a reporter. Do you guys think it's efficient to have photos while you're trying to present your story, or present the story and then email or later send them photos?
Are you, I'm sorry, I didn't get your first name.
I apologize. I am Sandra from Focus Hope. I am also here with Ms. Tonisha from Focus Hope.
Hello. So, storytelling, are you thinking during a press conference, or what is the setup here?
It's for media contact. I am a nonprofit, so what I'm trying to do is get my community story in the paper. So I have a lot of time to, like, sit down with the reporter, so what do you suggest is my best avenue to quickly relay the message? Would it be photos with a little pitch, or give them the pitch and send photos later?
I would give the pitch and say that I have some photos illustrating this. If you would like to see them, I will send them along. Sometimes the reporters, because if they know you, I think it would be fine to send the photos. Are you emailing the reporter, or how would you send the photos?
Actually, we are just now developing our marketing department for this, so we're just learning. So what would be the best option? First is get to know the reporter, so I will be able to send information that way.
That's exactly right. Photos are so valuable. I think that's really a wonderful addition to your pitches, but I would first contact the reporter just with an email and let them know what the issue is and what your story is, and just let them know that you have spokespeople and that you have photos and you have real-life examples that you can bring them to or connect them with.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
We have other questions?
I have a question.
Yep. You are?
Yes, hi, I'm Vernon Halton from Coal River Mountain Watch in Naomi, West Virginia, and today we are 20 years old officially.
Congratulations.
Wow.
Well, thank you. But I guess my question is, we're planning to have a shindig in the future in spring when we're, the weather is a little bit more reliable. For things like that and getting pressed to those, even though it's maybe a couple of months after, the big day of today, do you have any advice for that? I mean, we'll have music and food and family-friendly kids stuff and things like that, but it seems like a good opportunity to bring out some local media and get a positive face. Do you have any advice or suggestions for that? And also how to frame that in a way that makes it look like we just didn't just forget to have the shindig on the actual anniversary.
And what is the anniversary for? Is this your 20th anniversary?
Yes.
That's
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, 20 years since we've been officially incorporated.
Yeah. So that would be your news for the day, and I think your news would be all the things that you have accomplished and fights that you have fought over and solutions that you have brought to the community during those 20 years. Would that be part of the celebration and part of the news that you would be offering to reporters who covered this?
Yes, it would. I mean, we started in an old post office building and as volunteers, and now we're now we have a building. We're still paying on it, of course.
Wow.
We have solar panels. We have a hemp farm and some property back there and so forth. But it's a nice place, and in the springtime we'll be able to show it off better. So I appreciate you doing this, and I appreciate your advice.
Oh, it's so interesting to me, and this is my favorite part. I love hearing everything that everybody is thinking about and doing and wondering. 20 years of progress in West Virginia sounds great to me. I'm sure the reporters and television could be enticed to come out to your springtime event and talk about the work that you have done for the community over those 20 years.
Also, I don't think you have to look at the day you incorporated as the anniversary. I don't know if Kathy has additional thoughts about this, but I figure that the whole year, just had our 40th anniversary. It's not a single day. It is the whole year, and you could celebrate that whole year in different ways. 20 years ago, we thought about solar panels. Today, we have them. 20 years ago, and you just find different months and tag it with different months, and you could have and 6 events over the year, and some of them could be fundraising is to help pay for that building, in addition to, getting your media message out. And
question about universal health care. Hello, I have a question about universal health care.
We can hear you, and your
okay.
First name is?
I'm Bob Crayson from Columbus, Ohio. As you know, there is a lot of energy now behind the introduction of Medicare for All throughout the entire country. 100% of all healthcare bills would be paid and for all Americans for a lifetime. I don't think it gets any better than that in terms of the need for healthcare. What would you recommend in terms of local organizations trying to promote this and putting a face on it?
Fantastic. I think that is something that if you are supporting the bigger idea of health care for all or universal health care, being able to add to the conversation with a real person and a human face and maybe a unique story from your community, very, very valuable locally. I don't know exactly what's happening in Ohio as far as universal health care, if it's a state, something the state is working on, or if you are chiming in on a national issue, but
without knowing more details, I think, yes.
We're doing both. We have a state bill, and we're trying to encourage the federal bill because that seems to be gathering most of the heat and attention right now.
Yeah. I don't know what the story is of the local person, but you could certainly bring their point of view to the attention of a reporter. You could also get them to write an op-ed for the newspaper about their experience and why that led them to believe that universal health care is the right answer.
Okay.
Letters to the editor. Of course, I didn't talk about that very much. Or a lot of options, I think. It's such a one of the top six issues, I think, in our country now.
Exactly. Thanks so very much.
To add to what Kathy was saying, you know, Ohio has a lot of environmental problems, from the waste technologies in East Liverpool to fracking to deep well injection, and the list goes on. And so, you know, talking to the communities who have sick people, you know, like Clyde has this cluster of cancer in children there, to talk to those parents about why, I mean, most of them have some medical coverage because it's a big union state, but talking to them about why it's important, because the out-of-pocket cost of this cancer is just unbelievable, and so they're worried about working two jobs and visiting their child in the hospital and taking them to chemo. You know, these are working people who also need health care for all. It's not just about people who do not have health care at all. And to really begin, at least in the political arena in Ohio, which is a really tough arena, to really look at that and how to frame it. I mean, there's plenty of environmental health issues in the state, and I think visiting with some of those communities and talking about, you know, what is their health care needs and costs, and how can they and what would they be willing to tie to both the state initiative or the federal initiative, I think would be fabulous.
You know, Lois, you make such an excellent point there, is that no issue is an island. These issues all weave together, and healthcare is closely tied with the quality of our water and air. It's tied to working class people, to jobs, to income. All these issues are intertwined, and sometimes if you can bring a new angle or a new face to a different issue, maybe your healthcare person, as Lois mentioned, to an environmental issue, it could be so much more powerful, and it could begin working toward capturing people's imaginations and finding solutions.
My name is Nina. I have a question and a comment. I noticed when you talked about visuals, we did in our community, we created yard signs and banners for an issue that was kind of invisible. There weren't a lot of visuals. We were fighting cell towers in the neighborhoods, and the visuals drew the reporters into the story because they had something they could put on the evening news as well as interviewing people. And we found that really, really helpful. There were yard signs everywhere that we had commercially made, and they weren't that expensive. So it created a buzz so that everywhere people were driving, they were seeing this message that we didn't want cell towers in the neighborhoods. And big banners that could be, you know, seen for blocks away, and that really helped. I had a question on your message box about the, you said there were four squares, and one was the opponent, and what the opponent is saying about us. Could you talk a little bit more about how that gets woven into how we approach our message? Thank you.
Okay, great. Yes, and I'll send around this this message box again if not everybody has it or received it or can open it. How the opponent talks about us, I think this figures into the whole four prongs of creating your message, is understanding what your opponent is saying about you. Sometimes we just kind of turn a deaf ear to what the opposition is saying, or don't give it credibility or value, and then we overlook that aspect of our message. Of course, we don't ever want to repeat what our opponent is saying about us, but we want to have an effective counter message to it, or a message that goes in the opposite direction or a different direction to what the opposition is saying to us. We don't want a wall. We want to keep families together. So it's just being aware of the arguments that the opposition is putting forth and what their talking points and messaging is.
Great. We have time for one more question or
Dave,
comment.
Dave, I'm right here.
Hello. Can you hear me? This is Faustinian.
Hello.
Go ahead. We'll take two, Dale. Don't go away.
Okay. This is Jenny. I'm in Buffalo, New York, Lois.
Wow.
And how you doing? It's been a long time. I am working on a national network of faith-based leaders, and my goal is to get them primed and pumped and ready to bring all environmentalists to the table, pour information into them, and get them to become, if you will, warm bodies, the church members and the masses to become warm bodies that can move to action when there are issues that are presented that they're passionate about in their area. And I want to talk to you a little bit about, or I want you to answer a question a little bit about, when you're working across the nation. I certainly know in Buffalo we know how to get good media coverage. But if I'm working on something and there's Bishop so-and-so in West Virginia and in California and, you know, Seattle, Washington, where there are markets that I don't know how to approach their media or what makes sense, how do you choose who the spokesperson should be when you're talking about leaders among leaders and looking at how do you divide and share that responsibility? Because, you know, frankly speaking, if they're versed on an issue or they're versed on the goal, they all want to have a chance for their voices to be heard. And how do you effectively or systematically choose the right spokespeople when it's a national initiative across states? That's kind of my general question. And then if you can talk a little bit more about editorial boards and the reason to approach them to get your message out.
Okay, great. Wow, that was quite a question. So you want to bring faith leaders who are in your network, you want to bring them to the attention of both national publications or news, and you want to bring them to local attention as well, right?
Sure.
So obviously, if you have a person from Seattle, bringing them to their local news makes local newspapers makes complete sense. If you have nobody from Seattle, then you would want to bring somebody who can address the issue that you are working on to the attention of those national local newspapers. Are you wondering how to find the right contact at the local newspaper, or are you
But I'm more talking about when you're dealing with leaders among leaders. Let's say you had Reverend Jesse Jackson, Reverend Barber, and, you know, four other local people. How do you choose? Because, of course, Reverend Jesse Jackson and the Bible, you know, and you're talking about bishops and pastors and faith-based leaders and, you know, also the environmentalists and the experts. And it's like, when you're framing the message to get the word out and you want the media to cover the stories nationwide, how do you choose? Who does the reporter really want to talk to? I mean, of course, in my mind, they want to talk to all of them. But if you had to be strategic about it, what is your suggestion?
Wow, if I had to choose between Reverend Jackson and Reverend Barber, I don't think I could do it. So I'm probably not going to be the person to answer that question.
I couldn't either, so just so you know. I mean...
Maybe you, what you do is that, you know, Barbara gets the southern region, Jackson gets the northern region, whoever gets it. I mean, the other way you could break it out is geographic, that you could be the spokesperson for this region and these regional newspapers or media, and you could be for these regional, you know, there might be a way to do it that way in which you actually do incorporate all of them on the same message, but each one gets a, gets their moment in the sun.
In their geographic region, yes, or you can figure out what the issue is or the topic is that they are strongest on. Is it environment? Is it healthcare? What is it that they are speaking about? What is your national network? Does it have one or two issues that the leaders are speaking on or addressing or working on?
No, not one or two issues. And I'm building this national network. Mm-hmm. My goal, I recognize that in different regions there's certain issues that are more pertinent or that has a greater focus. And so I'm sort of creating a menu at the table and saying, these are the issues, and then they're choosing, you know, what they're most passionate about or what makes sense. And so in building the media message around that, you know, I just was curious as to how do you choose? And then if you could talk about the editorial board, that also would be helpful, too.
Great. So editorial boards, if you're feeling there's a large number of reasons that you would want to go talk to the editorial board, is one, to introduce yourself and your organization and your issue to the top editors and the opinion editors at the newspaper and get their attention and make sure that they understand that the top ranks of the organization, of the newspaper company, what it is that your group is trying to do. You can answer their questions. You can that way influence op-eds and editorials that editors at the paper are writing. Sometimes you can influence reporters who are assigned to cover your story or how it's covered. These are the top editors who run the newspapers at these meetings. Sometimes reporters are invited to attend them as well. It's a chance for you to sit down and tell your story and answer questions and get your point across to the newspaper. And it's especially helpful if it's a brand new issue in your community or if you are not getting the right kind of coverage that you are hoping for or expecting from the newspaper. If you're having a real problem with the coverage of your issue from the newspaper, I would go and talk to the editor, try to set up a meeting with the editorial board. Yes.
Okay. So I'm being very mindful of the time. I know, Dale, you have a question.
I just need a link so I can get the slides and the recording at the same time. Let me put that out. I appreciate it.
Okay, it's we will send you the recording and the slides.
Appreciate it very much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
There's just 1,000 more questions, Kathy. We don't have enough time.
My favorite part, Lois. I love it.
I know.
I so enjoyed this.
So I want to thank you, Kathy, for coming and spending this time with us. If people want a copy of the slides and you didn't get them, you can go to cheg2@cheg.org. Kathy, you did a great job. There's applause all across the country that you can't hear because it's muted, but it's loud to the almost being deafening. You did a fabulous job. We really appreciate you joining us. Our next training is March 19th, and that training is really talking about a trending issue in both the media and communities, and it's on PFAS in water, and that is a chemical that you can Google it. It's everywhere, and so that will be done by Stephen Lester and a couple activists from the PFAS Network. So join us on March 19th at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. Again, Kathy, thank you so much. You were great. If anybody else has questions, please mail them to cheg2@cheg.org, and I will make sure that we get a response to you, either from myself or from Kathy or from us both. Who knows? So thank you, and have a good day.
good afternoon. Thanks, Kathy. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much, Lois. I'm applauding back. I enjoyed this group very much.
Wow. You have a nice day. Stay warm for those on the East Coast in the snowstorm until tomorrow.
Take care.
Bye.
Thank you, Lois. Bye-bye, everyone.